All right, we are live. Welcome to the Today Show. My name is James Lee.
I am Danny Love, and it has been 1 week and 1 day since the Charlie Kirk assassination, and there has been so much information out there. We've been inundated.
Too much information.
Yes. We literally, at this point, don't even really know what to think, and so James and I are going to take this opportunity on this show to break down the information that we do have. This is the first time we've ever been live, which is why there was a little technical difficulty if you tuned in 30 minutes ago. That being said, if you have any questions or any comments, please put that in the chat. We're going to get to that for sure at the end of the show, maybe even during the show. But I think it's important that we start off with the shooter.
The supposed, alleged shooter.
The alleged shooter.
Tyler Robinson.
Yes. LJ, if you can pull up his face there. Tyler Robinson is 22 years old. He is being reported as being a very, very smart individual, which you would have to be if you planned a public execution in 1 week. The FBI is saying that he planned this in 1 week, and then you were able to pull it off and evade authorities until you decide to turn yourself in exactly 33 hours later, according to Cash Patel.
Yes, so, this is the official story, right? He acted alone. He planned all this out. He scouted the location out. He went on top of the roof, took out Charlie Kirk, and then escaped, left the gun in the woods, and basically evaded authorities for 2 days until he had a coming to Jesus moment with his father and decided to talk to the minister, the youth minister, and then turn himself in.
And, you know, from that exact moment, I thought it was bullshit, okay? Because someone who is going to take somebody else's life, in my opinion, doesn't really have a conscience. So this idea that all of a sudden they're going to have, like you said, a coming to Jesus moment, I'm going to the minister, is hard for me to believe that this is going to happen. And what is so odd now is that we were told he's turned himself in, right? It wasn't a situation where his house was swatted. His dad called in and said, we have the guy. The story is that his dad turned him in, right? But really, he walked into the police office. And so we're told this. But then the next day, he's not cooperating with authorities. So that's kind of strange. If you had this coming to Jesus
moment.
And
you wouldn't cooperate with authorities because then you automatically would be going to jail and you would be guilty. There's no trial. You're just saying, hey, I did it, and lock me up forever. I don't think anybody would really do that.
What is the point then in turning yourself
in? Well, that could be like, hey, he was more or less coerced by his father. Say, hey, if you don't do this, I'm going to give you up. I don't know the conversation, but that is somewhat realistic in the sense like, hey, your family, you're getting family pressure. He's young. He's like, okay, I'll do it. And then once you get in there, maybe he is appointed a lawyer. Maybe he's talked to a lawyer and he said, hey, do not cooperate right now, right? That's not going to be in your best interest.
So something that's very strange, if we want to pull up LJ2E, Bill Ackman, one of Charlie Kirk's biggest donors, put up $1 million reward for whoever turned in or found out who the shooter was, right? And people are getting very confused by this information because Bill Ackman put up two different $1 million rewards. He donated $1 million to TPUSA, Turning Point USA, Erica Kirk. And then second, he put up $1 million reward for the FBI to give to whoever turns in or discovers who the shooter was. As of now, the father is going to receive that $1 million reward. But there's a lot of misinformation out here right now about that I want to clear up. There are some people that are saying the father declined the money and the father is giving that money to Erica Kirk. That is misinformation. Okay, first of all, no one has received a dime yet. This money is going to be circumstantial, making sure that in the trial, the father was not involved in any way in the shooting. But if that turns out that the father really did just want to turn in his son and the son is found guilty, then yes, he would at that point be receiving the money. the reason there's misinformation on this, that the father is refusing the money and giving it to the family, is because of Bill Ackman, who put up the reward. He told authorities that he heard from a good source that that's what the father was going to do. So how convenient for him.
That's, yeah, I don't know. It's kind of icky to me that the $1 million is going to the father. There's going to be more than I'm going to say about Bill Ackman later on in the show. But this is all, like, there is conspiracies out there. There's a lot of people believing the FBI. For me, it's like, okay, at this point, this is where I'm at. I think Tyler Robinson seems to have something to do. Like, it's clear that he had something to do with the shooting. We don't know exactly what, whether he was the one that pulled the trigger or he was acting alone. That's the stuff that we don't really know for sure, right? And that's the loose ends that the FBI is trying to tie up right now, because there's a lot of theories floating around saying, how could this guy possibly acted alone? The disassembling of the gun, assembling it again, disassembling it, and then assembling it again in the woods. It seems very weird. Why would he do something like that? And so they're trying to produce the evidence that hopefully would assuage the public that, hey, this is a lone gunman. He was radicalized on the internet, right, by these left-wing nuts, and he's all into the LGBTQ trans world, and he now hates Charlie Kirk, and he wants to take him out. And that is what they're telling us through the text. I don't know if we want to read some of this text message exchange for the audience. I definitely do,
but before, I want to go into the gun, which you brought up, and taking apart the gun, putting the gun back together. So right now, authorities are saying that the reason you don't see Tyler Robinson on campus with the gun is that he was carrying the gun in his backpack. He had to put the gun together, right? So they're saying he put it together, then he disassembled it on the roof, and then the gun was found fully intact in the forest, so then he re-put it back together. LJ, if you can pull up 4F, this is also interesting to me because it fits in with putting the gun back together. The Utah governor said that he also, during this time, changed his clothes on the roof.
Okay.
So if we could just play this.
Yes. So so when he's first spotted on campus, he has different clothing on, and then he changes clothing on the roof, and then changed back into that clothing at some point, so that when he was arrested, the clothing matched the clothing he had on before the shooting here at UVA. Yes, so.
Okay, so that's very strange. I also want you to now pull up 4C, the screwdriver. Okay, so the authorities are alleging that he changed clothes on the roof, right? And that he also assembled and then disassembled the gun. And part of the way they can prove this is that there was a screwdriver found on the roof. Now, what's weird to me is when you see that video that we've all seen that's inside one of the UVU buildings,
mm-hmm.
and there's that image that somebody caught while everybody's ducking right after
there's
shots.
There's a guy running across the top.
Yes. And they're saying he ran across the top and he jumped off, right?
So there was not enough time to disassemble the gun, basically, is what you're saying. There's not enough time.
Well, I'm all for outfit changes, okay?
Or even to change out. Okay, so changing an outfit would probably take less time than disassembling the gun, right? Based on what experts are saying.
So, yes. And to that point,
because there's actually no evidence at this point that I've looked at over and over again that definitively proves that he disassembled the gun after firing the shot, if he was the shooter. The video is very grainy, and you can kind of see him holding something in his hand. It doesn't quite look like a gun, but it could potentially be a gun. It's not conclusive evidence either way, is what I'm saying. So yeah. He could have fired the shot, immediately ran to the other side, jumped off the roof. That doesn't explain the clothing change. He could have, changed clothing. I mean, I don't know. He had the NBA, like, warm-up suit, bam, he's out of there. Right. I don't know.
He was wearing Adidas warm-ups, the snaps.
Yeah.
But to the build the gun point, how long would that take? If we go to element F6, this is an individual actually showing us.
On this episode of You Might Be a Dumb Motherfucker, this is my rifle. It takes two different tools to take it apart. It takes a Torx key and an Allen key. Now, if I take a shot and immediately disassemble this, I have to remove the bolt, remove the magazine, grab my Allen key, hit the two bolts on the bottom, put those away in the Allen key, grab my Torx key, remove the scope, put everything in the backpack, make sure I have everything, and make my way downtown. Okay, which is going to take a lot longer for him than it is for me, especially because his fine-tuned motor function, something as simple as grabbing an Allen key to a little bolt, is going to be extremely impaired due to a dump of adrenaline throughout his bloodstream. An extreme elevated heart rate is going to make these fine-tuned skills extremely difficult. I mean, just for him to think and analyze of what needs to be done to disassemble this rifle and get away would be difficult. And we're not even going to touch the topic of him assembling the rifle on top of the roof, which if you reassemble a rifle and you take a cold dead shot, it's not going to be 100% accurate. Okay, or the fact that he disassembled this after taking a shot, which the rifle's going to be hot, and they found no gloves. There's just so many inconsistencies, it just makes zero sense. I mean, I'm still working on this, and I have taken this rifle apart 1,000 times. And now he has to put the pieces of the rifle into a backpack. And this is a gigantic backpack. Shout out Wolfpack, best backpacks on the fucking planet. Anyways, as you can see, this barrel, broken down, does not fit in this backpack. And this is a big boy, way bigger than the one that he was carrying. Okay, I put the rifle stock in here, and guess what? It doesn't fit. It sticks out. Now, let's just say, for sake of argument, that he put these in his pant leg and he was walking. These are still so long, broken down, that he would not be able to walk straight. He wouldn't be able to bend his legs. Doesn't make fucking sense.
There's a problem. The story is not adding up. And it could be, this could be just like, just the quick flow of information that we're getting. People, there's misinformation out there, whether or not he disassembled the gun, assembled the gun, disassembled it again. That may have not happened. It just seems like we don't have proof that he ever was holding a gun. So he could have stashed it, right? We don't know all the details. He could have potentially stashed it on the roof ahead of time. Mind you, this guy did not attend this university. There's no evidence either that he previously went up there. I mean, they could probably figure it out through maybe some cell phone tracking to see if he ever visited that campus before. But if it's your first time on that campus, you would really not understand how all the buildings are positioned, you know, are located, where the best shot is from. That would seem like you would need to scout it out ahead of time. So he could have maybe went the night before, left a gun there on top, retrieved it, fired the shot, took it off the building. That is a possibility, but it seems like very, very low possibility.
Well, and also from—
seems strange.
Yes, from this expert, he didn't use a screwdriver. Did you notice that? When he assembled and disassembled this gun just now in the video we watched, a screwdriver was not a part of the tools that he was using.
And this report, it may be a screwdriver. Maybe they didn't understand the difference between a screwdriver or an Allen wrench or whatever. You know, this is the Times of India. I don't know. I'm just kidding.
I mean, it was reported everywhere.
Okay, yeah.
But
I think that's obviously that piece of evidence was planted by the authorities to explain the people talking about how could it be possible that
James,
he took the
part. James, you're starting to sound like a conspiracy theorist.
Well, I don't know if I am one, but it seems like there is more evidence pointing to there's a conspiracy, meaning that there are multiple people involved in this shooting other than Tyler Robinson.
I think for sure we can conclude that this was not a lone wolf situation.
But they really want to make us feel like it's a lone wolf situation, because once you get into the grander conspiracy, then you have to question intelligence agencies, authorities, government officials, who knew what was going on, right? Because there was a bunch of weird things that sort of happened before this ever took place, right? In the months coming up to it, right? For example, why was the head of the Salt Lake City FBI division fired?
And that was in July.
In July.
And then replaced by somebody that Kash Patel wanted. She had been there 20-something years.
D14, by the way, that's the element. So yeah, so and based on every bit of research I've done, there's no actual probable, like, there's no cause for the firing, right? And people can be fired for whatever reason. You don't really need a reason, to be honest with you. But for a person of that high of stature, and everybody who's spoken about it publicly has stated that she was one of the best at the job.
Absolutely. And to that fact, something else that is strange, if you pull up 14C, Utah campus open carry rule, HB 128, passed in August, allowed people with the proper permit to openly carry firearms on college campuses. So you have the FBI field director that's been there 20 plus years fired a month before. And then you also have this HB 128 passed in August, 1 month before, allowing anybody on the college campus to carry a gun.
Yeah, I mean, it seems coincidental, or it could possibly be a grand conspiracy.
I don't know. But what's also strange that happened before, if we look at 14E, you guys all remember, everybody watched this. It was reported in mainstream media. It was reported all over TikTok and everywhere. On September 3rd, the Epstein survivors, people call them victims, I like to call them survivors, they came out and did a press conference and said, we are making our own list of people that we were trafficked to. Billionaires are not safe. Business people are not safe. Government officials are not safe.
But why is that related to this, though?
Well, they announced that exactly 1 week before Charlie Kirk was publicly executed. And I just feel that that also could be a message, possibly, that if you speak out, right? Charlie Kirk was known for speaking out. This is what's going to happen to you. A lot of people.
Well, I don't know if he spoke out about. We can get into some of the theories later that are brewing, but I don't know if he's ever spoken out about the Epstein. So he said, "Hey, maybe the only thing that he stated publicly was at the Turning Point conference in July, where he was up on stage with Megyn Kelly, and they said, hey, maybe Epstein possibly could be a Mossad or foreign intelligence agency. They don't know." I don't think he's ever really gotten entangled in the whole Epstein situation. Yeah. I even heard a clip of him just saying, hey, I'm kind of done with Epstein right now. Like, I trust the people in government to kind of take care of business. So I'm not 100% certain that is related.
Yeah, it might not be. So back to UVU.
Can I pull up one? Yes. Just going back to the gun assembling and disassembling really quick. If you can pull up C-13, because all of the news reports are saying that he was in the forest, right? The gun was found in a forest, and presumably the idea that is conveyed is that he would have time and he was hidden away from the public to do this and to hide the gun away. But it's not really a forest, right? If you go to the Google map image here, it's just a cluster of some trees around campus. It would just be like if you're walking around a park and there was a few trees. It's not a heavily wooded area. It's completely open to the public in terms of line of sight. So there's no way somebody could be hiding in there trying to disassemble a gun for a few minutes and have nobody see it, especially in the aftermath, which I will say the police were distracted in the aftermath because there was one or even two patsies in the crowd, right? George Zinn, the guy who was somehow also there at 9/11, was distracting the police, saying, hey, I'm the shooter.
He was there at 9/11.
You didn't know this?
No.
This is a huge thing that's going on online. It's like that guy, you know, that old man?
Yes.
Blue shirt, tackled to the ground, and he's like, shoot me, shoot me. So that guy was one of the early, one of the first callers of 9/11 saying, hey, a plane has hit this building.
Oh my God, why am I learning about this live? Oh my God, that is insane. I don't know that a lot of people know that.
A lot. Well, if you're on Twitter, you know that. But I know not regular people.
I am. I didn't know. That is crazy.
And he's also been at several other high profile kind of terrorist attack type situation. I think another one was a bombing in Salt Lake City and also like the Boston Marathon. He's been there at a number of these events. So either A, the more innocent explanation is that he is just like a rabble rouser. He just likes to do these kinds of things and troll and be a part of this. The other is that he's possibly connected to some kind of intelligence operation to say, hey, you're going to go there. You're going to cause a distraction.
That's- I mean, you know which way I'm going. And it's the latter, because what are the odds, right? What are the odds that you would be at a Salt Lake City bombing at 9/11 and now at the Charlie Kirk assassination? What are the odds of that? I would wonder.
Well, there's somebody who actually did a video on that. And the odds calculated by AI, so you can take it or leave it, is like 0.00000001% chance that this guy was just by coincidence at these events and was one of the first to report, you know, things happening. In this case, he claim to be the shooter for whatever reason. I don't know if he just wants attention or he's actually just trying to distract and let the real shooter get away.
I just cannot believe you, I don't want to say dropped a bomb just now because this is, but that is absolutely crazy. What else is crazy is, LJ, if you want to pull up 12C, they are now cleaning up the crime scene. It's actually already been cleaned up.
It's done.
The UVU crime scene where Charlie Kirk was assassinated has been completely ripped up. Everything has been cleared out and construction is on the way. I saw one article that said they're ripping up the grass. They want to make the area beautiful again. Very strange to do that to a crime scene, right? So
we haven't
so
even found the bullet yet.
Right.
Or at least we haven't been told that the bullet has been found. We don't know where the bullet is. We don't even have the matching bullet or the bullet to match the gun.
So that is a big point of this investigation that a lot of people are bringing up, right? You don't have the bullet. What we have right now is a circumstantial case, correct? Right? Because we have the gun. The FBI has said that there was DNA on the gun, but they did not say it was fingerprints on the gun. So is it spit? Is it hair? What DNA is on the gun? And then we have those bullets that were engraved, right? And so we know the gun. We know what the bullet should look like.
And people are doing that nowadays for some reason. I don't know when that started.
It started with Luigi Mangione, okay, which is another weird situation. You just there are some similarities between Luigi and Mangione and Tyler Robinson in the sense that we've been presented with these kids, 22 years old, these very young shooters that carried out public assassinations that we are told are very smart. Luigi Mangione was valedictorian of his class and was able to be dropping Easter eggs throughout New York after he escaped, almost playing with the police, right? He left that bag of Monopoly money, right?
Yep.
He was so smart to do this.
But he was caught at McDonald's.
He was caught at McDonald's, but he was wearing the same clothes with the manifesto, conveniently, with the weapon. And that's what they're saying about Tyler Robinson, this genius kid, this super smart kid, right? Again, wasn't caught by police, was turned in, and then was turned in wearing the same clothes.
That's also peculiar.
But back to the bullet. They have not, at least to our knowledge at this point, maybe they do have the bullet, but they have not announced that they have the bullet. So to rip up the grass and pour concrete at UVU and completely redo the crime scene, now are you going to find the bullet now? I understand there's some people saying sometimes on crime scenes you can't find the bullets because at that velocity, you don't know where the bullet could have gone.
It shatters? Or
no,
what?
It's just moving so fast that it could ricochet off something. You know, I was going to say—
Okay, so then why are you so quick to tear up the crime scene?
Right.
If you haven't found it yet.
Right.
Or maybe they did find it and they're just not telling us because—
I hope.
Well, but the problem with that is they're not telling us for a reason, right? Does the bullet not match the supposed gun that everybody knows the model of now? And saying, hey, that could be a big hole. If it comes out, it's like, hey, here's the bullet, and all the people who know about guns, which is there's tons of people in America, and be like, that bullet doesn't work with
right.
that gun.
But how hard would it be them to put out an AI photo of a matching bullet?
Of just a matching, well, so then it would be a grand conspiracy because then the autopsy, the doctors, the hospital needs to be paid off. You have a bunch of the coroners, you know, these people involved, they just need to be all paid off to say, hey, you're just going to go along with this story, by the way.
And
it's possible. It's possible. I mean, if you have to remember, like, the reason why we're going into this is not because we want to. I actually don't like that. You love this, but I just would love to know what's actually happening. The problem with this is that we have the Warren Commission after JFK, right? That basically concluded from the official perspective of all the people who looked into it that there was one bullet that killed JFK and a bunch of, you know, that shot JFK. It went in a circle, basically. And so now, we don't know what to believe. And especially now you have Kash Patel going on the record saying Epstein never trafficked anybody, any young girls to anybody. How could you possibly take the word of this FBI at face value? You just can't. Unless you're like a propaganda sycophant type of person, you just can't take anything at face value.
I posted a meme yesterday on my Instagram story and it showed these four eyes.
Yeah.
And it showed like really red, like dimmed eyes, and it said eyes on weed. And then it showed these like bright eyes, you know,
yeah,
eyes on cocaine. And then it showed Cash Patel's eyes, and it said eyes of somebody lying about Epstein. And I just thought, God, that is so true. Yeah. It doesn't make any sense with that. A lot of people with the crime scene, you know, being ripped up and redone, UVU campus is saying, look, we don't want our students to have to like walk by that and sure. have this memory. I think everybody in the country is probably dealing with some sort of like a PTSD from seeing sure. that absolutely horrific visual of Charlie Kirk being shot in the neck. And yes, I do love conspiracies, but I'd rather them be about chemtrails and aliens. I don't want somebody to be publicly executed and then our agencies coming out with all of this crazy information. But on crazy information, I think it was Ian Carroll tweeted, who called for this redo of the crime scene and what company is doing this? And I thought that was interesting because at first we were told that Mike Robinson, the father, was a sheriff, right? They said he's involved in law enforcement. Turns out he's a construction worker. So yeah. How crazy would it be if it's his company, like, concrete over? No, it's
just not. Just for the record, we're not saying that.
No, I'm not. I'm just making a joke. But I'm just saying, you know, that is very odd that it's only been a week. They don't need to, you know, they seem so certain with everything.
Yeah. See, and speaking of jokes, so like I want to go through the texts because everybody from the right to the left is saying that this is doesn't sound right because it covers basically every single loose end, right? It talks about why he stashed the gun, where he's waiting, all the details. But I don't want to read it. I want to let a Gen Zer read it because I think it's funnier when they read it. So if you can play F11, this is a dramatic reading of the text messages between the alleged text messages between Tyler Robinson and his quote unquote roommate.
Hello, my love. You have no doubt heard of the shooting, and I must admit, 'twas I. I had hoped to keep the secret to the grave, but alas, I have not lasted the better part of an hour. Why have I committed this act? 'Twas the hate of the man. Reason had no purchase in the poor soil of his soul. You have not asked, but in case you were wondering where I hid the rifle, my love, 'twas over yonder by that lingering squad car. My old man shall surely be missing it presently. Do you remember how I was engraving bullets the other day in front of you? Well, it was just to do a big meme. Look no further into that. Also, I shall now misquote my own meme. Ooh woo, oh woe. Probably makes no difference. I apologize to involve you and for this text to be so short, but I am on the lam. In conclusion, I beg you keep this from the prying eyes of the fuzz.
I've never heard that.
No, that's just a TikTok person basically making fun of the fact that like this is a guy who talks in memes, right? All the if the engravings was really him, this is like some very chronically online person, like they're saying, who's talking in these video game sort of references and just very much like Gen Z lingo. And then all of a sudden he's saying words like vehicle, which you talked about. He's saying like squad car. All of these things, they don't make sense. Why they would text like this, why he would text like this.
I mean, look, he didn't make a grammatical error in the text messages. He added every comma. He added all the punctuation correctly. So you're telling me he was so frantic that he had to wrap the gun in a towel like it was a newborn baby and leave it behind. But then he was calm enough to make sure his punctuation was correct. Something doesn't fit here. It seems off.
It does seem off. And there's no timestamps, by the way, as well, because they need to release the timestamps of when things are happening. Because we do have like footage out there of when things are happening, and we're not able to check when he's saying these things. So, for example, he's like, "Oh, I'm waiting in my car." So then we should be able to pull up security footage. It's like, okay, where is that car? Is he in there right now?
Also, UVU had updated their security cameras to a high surveillance system. A few weeks to a few months before, I can't remember the exact timeline. Where is the footage, right? Also, you're involved in the biggest manhunt in these 33 hours.
33 hours.
You know, you really are, though. It's the biggest manhunt. You're telling me they didn't put drones up? So you should be able to show us the drone footage of his car sitting there, because he said in these text messages, right, that he had to wait for authorities to clear the area. My sister lives in the area, and she said it was locked down in a lot of ways. So you don't.
And that's what he said in the text. He said it was locked down.
Okay. So if it's locked down, you're telling me they're not going to notice some kid
in his car
sitting in his car for 4 hours and go,
hey, what's
excuse me, we're looking for someone. Oh, wait, you fit the profile. They just, what, skipped over that? Or they don't have drone footage of the car sitting there for hours afterwards?
They might. I'm not saying they don't. We're not saying they don't have the footage. Because a lot of times, this isn't even the right time. If from a court case, law enforcement perspective, this is not the right time just to release all this to the public. The problem with this situation right now is that these texts seemed to be doctored. Because they're not being transparent with the time of the text. And there's just things like in here that's like, oh, the only thing that I left was the rifle wrapped in a towel. Why would it be so specific? Oh, maybe because previous news reports had said they had found the gun in a towel. Right.
Also, he brings up the fact that it's his grandpa's rifle. He doesn't even think there's serial numbers on it, so it won't trace back to him. So again, with this narrative that we're getting, that you have this super bright kid. He's so smart that in 1 week, he can create this elaborate scheme to execute Charlie Kirk. He's not even a student on campus. He gets on the roof. He changes clothes. He assembles the gun. He disassembles the gun. But then you're going to be dumb enough to write every single incriminating detail in a text chain following this act. It seems like there is a disconnect in the personality type, right? And maybe they will say, oh, this is a multiple personality individual. They'll say maybe there's some sort of a mental thing. But right now, you know, that seems odd, right?
Seems very odd. It seems like I don't know if this is like they're just behind the times or something like that, because
who?
The FBI.
Oh.
With these text messages, because it's like the motive is in there. Why did you do it? Oh, why did I do it? Oh, it's because I can't get enough of his hate, or I've had enough of his hatred. It's like, well, how long have you been planning this? Well, a bit over a week. So why the fuck would he be talking about this right now? Because he's on the run. Okay, you have to remember, these texts were supposedly sent when he's on the run.
Exactly.
Okay.
And, you know, we had Mark Devine, a Navy SEAL, retired Navy SEAL, 20 years, special ops. And he said, this would have to be planned for a lot longer than a week. And it would take a team of people. And I know everybody thinks they're an expert out there, but this is a guy who was in high pressure situations. Yes, I understand there are very talented hunters that are saying they can make this shot. But like, to your point, kicking a field goal with your buddies is a lot different than being able to do that.
And execute a person.
I meant kick a field goal in an NFL game, right?
Sure.
When you have the high pressure situation.
Yes, you have the linebacker, you have everybody charging at you. Game is on the line, winning field goal. Very different than just going out to the football field with your buddies and kicking, you know, 40-yard, 50-yard field goals. Because I've seen a lot of people, you know, on Instagram who are very talented athletes.
Yeah.
They're doing all kinds of stuff in sports. But if you put them in a game, I don't think they could be doing that stuff.
And this is a little off topic, but I love when they do like the pre-college games. And
I've seen one or two people make those.
Oh my God. I'm one of those people. I love that. I love sports. So when they make, I almost cry. I'm jumping up. I'm like, let's go. You won the 200,000. Okay. Anyways, another thing that's strange, LJ, if we can pull up 4E. Originally, there were reports that the person of interest in Charlie Kirk's killing was described as wearing tactical gear. This is from the dispatch audio. Okay. They said it was a person of interest wearing all black tactical gear and a long black gun, a person who wore aviator glasses and had longer hair. Now, if we go back to the picture under shooter bullet 3A of Tyler Robinson, one, they've given us a lot of outfit changes. We got the maroon shirt. We've got the one with the American flag on it, right? No, none of his outfits are tactical gear, one. Two, no aviator glasses. And three, this guy has like a military cut. He doesn't have long hair by any means.
Well, you want to see a video that just came out this morning that I posted? C5. Go to C5.
Is he going to have long hair? And
I don't know if he has long hair, but play C5. This is. This is a big one.
So describe the video. What is it showing?
This is showing like a guy who is dressed in a full suit, trench coat, black trench coat. Okay. Escaping the scene. He's wearing black gloves. Okay. And he's wearing a black tie. He has a black bag who some people are breaking down. That's like, hey, it looks like a potential strap for an AR. I don't know if it is or not, but like, this is the guy. I'm going to just show you on my laptop.
Okay.
So that kind of, okay, he's wearing aviators. I don't know. Okay, but that's a...
You know, and this is one thing that people are putting out there, and I said this too. With all of this information that's contradicting previous information, all of these inconsistencies... You have to wonder if this is a deliberate strategy to confuse the public, right? Because we know there's a CIA book written called Chaos that was about the Manson killings, where in that book it says the intelligence agencies, a strategy they use is to create utter chaos so people really don't know what to think. And then people get fatigued and they end up just... You know, we got to get back to our lives, right? People have kids, they have families, they have work, they have stress. The economy's not great. They don't have all day to spend on this stuff. So eventually people are like, I don't know what to believe. So I'm just going to, you know, go with whatever it is and we're going to call it a day. Let's wrap this up, right?
Well, yeah, that's true. But I guess wouldn't the authorities just want a clean story? They wouldn't, I think, be deliberately putting out things that would contradict each other.
Well,
I think this,
A recorded, documented strategy that the CIA has used before in the 60s and 70s. It's not me saying it. It was a CIA agent that wrote the book Chaos, talking about how that is one of their means of operations to ultimately distract the public from what's really going on.
Got you.
So I'm not saying that that's what's happening in this situation. I'm just saying it has happened in the past.
And now, it seems like there is some clampdown. This is going to be sort of switching topics. I don't know if you're ready for that yet, but like this, there is what I'm seeing, a lot of people clamping down on the free speech aspect. They don't want that.
Well, what's interesting is that it's been, like I said, 1 week and one day since Charlie Kirk was publicly executed, and the politics machine has not given Charlie Kirk one day to rest. The machine has gotten bigger on both sides. The political parties are using this assassination to push their narrative, whatever it may be. It's kind of gross to me, but that's the world that we're living in, and that's what's happening. And so right now, you have freedom of speech under question, right? Because last night, Jimmy Kimmel was taken off the air. They're saying his show basically is over. They're saying because of remarks that he made
in
regard to this shooting. Sure.
C-17. This is what he said.
We hit some new lows over the weekend with the MAGA gang desperately trying to characterize this kid who murdered Charlie Kirk as anything other than one of them and doing everything they can to score political points from it. In between the finger pointing, there was grieving. On Friday, the White House flew the flags at half staff, which got some criticism. But on a human level, you can see how hard the president is taking this.
My condolences on the loss of your friend Charlie Kirk. May I ask, sir, personally, how are you holding up over the last day and a half, sir?
I think very good. And by the way, right there, you see all the trucks. They've just started construction of the new ballroom for the White House, which is something they've been trying to get, as you know, for about 150 years. And it's going to be a beauty.
Yes. He's at the fourth stage of grief, construction. Demolition, construction. This is not how an adult grieves the murder of someone he called a friend. This is how a four-year-old mourns.
So,
We are live and echoing.
And echoing.
Go ahead.
So my initial reaction to that is, I don't think he was even making fun of Charlie Kirk there. I think he was making fun of Trump.
For sure.
Right? There was nothing untowards about Charlie Kirk in that monologue.
No.
It was just making fun of Trump, saying that, hey, do you actually even like this guy? Do you even give a shit?
Yeah.
So I thought that was a little weird. And the story now that's being widely reported is that this is pressure from the Trump administration to have him yanked off air through their different affiliates, the distribution companies, right? This is saying that the government pressured ABC and ABC caved, and this is done through the Sinclair and other and Nexstar distribution platforms. Because what happens is, like, ABC produces the content, right? Produces the Kimmel Show, produces a bunch of other stuff. And then to air it, they would need to go through the distribution channels, which is like Sinclair, which is, they own the local ABC affiliate. Mm. So it's Sinclair that is basically now demanding that Kimmel apologize and, I guess, donate money to Turning Point or something like that to get him back on air. And so a couple different things. Like, I have a couple different thoughts about this. Is one, this seems like government censorship. This seems like Trump is not happy that Kimmel made a joke. And Kimmel, I don't even watch Kimmel. I don't think he's, like, that funny, to be honest with you. But clearly, like, he's a comedian. So he's making a joke there about Trump. He wasn't saying anything about, like, celebration of Charlie Kirk death. Mm-hmm. It was just like Trump. It was more poking fun of Trump of just not reacting as you should for a guy who supposedly cares so much and he was a close friend. And that, to me, I'm not okay with, because slippery slope, right? Once you start pressuring these large corporations from the government perspective to censor, then that's how you get state media. Now, on the flip side of that, you have to remember, Trump was literally taken off of Twitter because the government pressured Twitter.
Right.
So this is a little bit of a tit-for-tat move. So it's not like the Republican Party or Trump is unique in these kinds of censorship tactics. They're both major parties, depending on who has the power, do this, you know, ridiculous censorship bullshit. So whenever, when people talk about free speech, it's not really free speech. It's only, I defend free speech if I like it. If I don't like it, then it's hate speech.
Right. And, you know, I want to just say before I get into my thoughts on this, that I am an advocate for freedom of speech. Do I think that Jimmy Kimmel said anything that should get his show canceled or taken off? No, I don't. Do I like Jimmy Kimmel? No, I don't. But freedom of speech needs to reign. And that is, if that is the case, that is wrong. It's also extremely hypocritical of a lot of these Democratic politicians coming out now and saying how wrong this is. LJ, if you can pull up 16C, this is Elizabeth Warren last night, and she tweeted this. First Colbert, now Kimmel. Last minute settlements, secret side deals, multi-billion dollar mergers, pending Donald Trump's approval. Trump silencing free speech stifles our democracy. It sure looks like giant media companies are enabling his authoritarianism. Okay, so this is my problem with that, okay? In 2020 and 2021, during COVID, the Biden administration, and we know this for a fact, censored people that went against the government narrative about COVID. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't entertainers and comedians. Dr. Robert Malone is known as the father of mRNA. He is a doctor and scientist that invented the mRNA technology. Dr. Robert Malone, during COVID, was saying, he was the canary in the coal mine, and he was saying, hey, I invented this technology, because remember, the COVID vaccine was a different technology. It was this mRNA technology that had never been rolled out to the public before, and he was saying, hey, look, I invented this technology, and I think that everybody needs to take a step back and hold off before we, you know, mandate this in the masses, because we haven't done trials to find out if this really is safe and effective. Mm-hmm. He was deplatformed. His accounts were taken off of Instagram, Twitter, every social media platform, every video and interview that he did then, going all the way back. And this was a guy that was a highly celebrated doctor in the field. He had won many awards. He had immense knowledge. He sat on very important boards. Everything was taken off.
And he wasn't the only one.
No, Peter McCullough is another one, a cardiologist, who was saying we should not vaccinate children that are healthy, and also was promoting hydroxychloroquine and ivermectin as alternative remedies to have a shorter duration of this novel virus. And so I find it really hypocritical that Elizabeth Warren and Gavin Newsom and Harry Sisson are all coming out and saying Trump was supposed to be the leader of freedom of speech when your party did the same thing. And in my opinion, even worse.
Right. And I would say there is a legitimate criticism because Trump and the Republicans have always been known as the free speech people.
Yes.
Right. The Democrats are not really known for free speech, to be quite honest with you. The Democrats are like, hey, you either agree with us and you make sure that you do all these things like use pronouns and all this other shit, or you're not with us. Mm-hmm. So they've never been really free speech advocates until maybe like right now. Right now they're using an opportune,
like with the Epstein files.
Right now they're using an opportune moment because it's politically convenient to do so, but they've not been known for that. Whereas Trump, I think the criticism is legitimate, no matter if it's bad faith or good faith, that hey, you guys ran on this. This is your ideology. This is your tenet, that core tenet of your party is free speech, right? Facts, not feelings. You should be able to say whatever you want. And now, for some reason, we can't because it's hateful. And even Charlie Kirk, right? There's a tweet by Charlie Kirk just a few months ago. He's like, hate speech does not legally exist in America. There's ugly speech, there's gross speech, there's evil speech. And all of it is protected by the First Amendment. Keep America free.
I love that. I have one other point I want to make about Jimmy Kimmel and the fact that everybody's, you know, rushing to his defense. Mm. Jimmy Kimmel used to do The Man Show. Do you remember that?
No, I never watched any Kimmel. Okay,
Either did I, but let's pull up E16, right? This is who they are protecting. This is the type of content that Jimmy Kimmel used to do. I don't know if you've seen this.
Tell
this
us what you think. Right?
There's a woman and she's looking through the binoculars. The other thing I think a lot of people realize is that Jimmy Kimmel is also very good friends with Adam Perry Lang. Do you know who that is?
No.
That was Jeffrey Epstein's private chef.
Oh, of course. Well, okay. Well, nobody was trafficked. No young girls were trafficked. So what's the problem here? No, I'm kidding.
But Adam Perry Lang and Jimmy Kimmel have gone to the Oscar parties together. They've gone to Super Bowls together. Sure. Jimmy Kimmel has actually invested in Adam Perry Lang's restaurants. And it's not like, oh, well, he was a chef. He didn't know what was going on. Virginia Giuffre, one of the Epstein survivors, the one that was just hit by a bus earlier this year, was told she was given 4 days to live, but then all of a sudden, 4 weeks after that, decided to commit suicide. Very strange for someone who has fought her whole entire life after being trafficked by Jeffrey Epstein to all of a sudden get hit by a bus, survive, and then kill herself. She actually, in previous court documents, had testified that Adam Perry Lang had seen her naked and had served food to underage girls. So all of these Democrats coming out, it's mostly Democrats, there might be people that are of any political affiliation that are defending Jimmy Kimmel. I am a defender of freedom of speech. I don't think his show should have been taken on, but I don't think that Jimmy's a good guy. And I think it's very strange that he has this relationship and is so closely tied one degree away.
Oh, well, I mean, all these guys are involved in that, which is why the files are not coming out, because they're all implicated. And I guess the last thing I will say about Jimmy Kimmel, the situation is that, like, that's what happens, though, when you work at a big company, right? You are beholden to your employer. So if your employer, let's say in this situation, they're getting threats from the distributor saying, hey, we won't carry any of your other shows anymore if you don't yank them off the air. And Kimmel happens to be a person who maybe is not that well liked, the ratings are down. He doesn't have that kind of gravitas to say things that are against what the employer wants him to say. He doesn't have, like, for example, you know that Joe Rogan back in COVID, the huge controversy with the platforming of ivermectin and all these doctors, and people were calling for his removal from Spotify, except he was the number one show on Spotify by far. Spotify's like, sorry, guys, we're keeping him.
Yeah.
Jimmy Kimmel does not have that gravitas to say, right, whatever he wants.
And by the way, those doctors were Peter McCullough and Dr. Robert Malone, and Dr. the ones that I brought up. Thank God for Joe Rogan in that situation.
And so my point is that's why, you know, independent media is so critical, right? Because we don't have that kind of boss to say, hey, you guys shouldn't say this, you guys shouldn't say that. And we're not beholden to that structure.
Right.
Right. That's just a part of being employed.
We're free and poor.
Yeah. For now.
Yes. But
that's the exchange that you make. You want a nice fat salary? Well, you just stay in line, just make the milk toast jokes. Like, you don't get to say whatever you want to say. This is your role in exchange. Right. So there's no expectation of free speech for Kimmel, because his show is not a free speech show. That's just the reality of the situation.
Well, the funniest part of all of this for me is that Disney cannot catch a break, okay?
With the whole Snow White or what?
Oh, well, it's like, you know, they were pushing very progressive content in their shows. And the whole right during the Biden administration was like, cancel Disney. Yeah. Disney sucks, right? They didn't have the little people in the Snow White remake. You know, Snow White, the whole entire storyline changed. Now Snow White, the story wasn't about the prince saving her. She was an independent woman that her father empowered. And so it's just so funny because Disney got dragged by the right. And now the left, boycott Disney, cancel Disney. I'm like, man, they are just boom, 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 boom.
That's what happens. You know, I don't have any sympathy for Disney. I think they're powerful. They deserve some of this.
Well, and it just goes to show, right, that these big media companies are really beholden to whoever is president and running the country.
Oh, yeah.
So, you know, when Biden was in, it was like, oh, we're going to push all of this stuff that leans very far left. And now that President Trump is in, we are going to take Jimmy Kimmel off for not even really making a joke about Charlie Kirk, making a joke about Trump.
Right. And that's why nobody trusts the mainstream media anymore, because you know, you can see evidence of ties to state power or corporate power, and that's why they can't tell you the truth.
Yeah. So just like during COVID, when freedom of speech was being locked down, I have to say that what's happening right now with the Charlie Kirk assassination reminds me a lot of what happened during COVID. For example, the government told us during COVID that we had this great vaccine. It was safe and effective. It was going to slow the spread. If you get it, you're not going to be able to get COVID. Remember, you're not going to be able to spread COVID. And then that ended up to not be true, right? You had to get booster after booster after booster. And people started to uncover the relationship that Big Pharma had with our government. And now 5 years later, you have parents questioning more than ever in history, statistically more than ever in history, what vaccines, if any, they're going to give their children, because all of this was really brought to light. And something that has happened from this Charlie Kirk assassination, in my opinion, is that the public is now looking in to Israel, because there is a theory that Israel is behind this Charlie Kirk assassination. And this theory is being perpetuated or alluded to by Candace Owens, Tucker Carlson, Dave Smith, the list goes on, right? That they have to look at Israel because of some of the pressure that Charlie Kirk was getting prior to his assassination. And so anyways, I just see that there. I think even friends of mine and family members of mine that would never have thought anything other than Israel just being a great ally to the United States are looking at some of the information and they're questioning whether or not they're the good guy or the bad guy.
100%. I mean, that is, okay, so I think I said this last week about Israel, is that they always end up being a prime suspect just because the entire state is predicated around coercion and bribery and deception and, you know, this kind of force that if you don't play ball with us, then bad things will happen to you, right? There will be consequences, right? Whether it be you lose your job, right? People have been canceled just for speaking out against Israel, or we will, you know, debank you, or like, you know, Nick Fuentes will kick you off of all the platforms. All of these things then give a motive to say, hey, Charlie Kirk seems to be in the last months and maybe last year of his life grappling with this Israel issue to say, is this actually good for America? Is this relationship good, right? Because Charlie Kirk has been around since he was 18 years old doing all this stuff. So he was, you know, very much groomed in that sense of like, hey, Israel should be our partner. And he still largely believed that also because of his religious beliefs.
Yeah.
And so he really badly wanted to support Israel. But I think he also was a person who had some moral fiber to say, hey, there's some weird things going on. And he also loved America so much in that it's like, is this actually good for America? Right? Is this relationship good? And then when he started getting personal heat for trying to have just a good faith discussion about, you know, how do we better support Israel? That was almost, you know, made him persona non grata within that community, right? This is what Candace Owens is talking about in that now infamous, if people have been following online, Charlie Kirk and a bunch of other influencers were invited to this Hamptons meeting with Bill Ackman and a bunch of other Zionist billionaire donors to essentially come up with a game plan of how to better support Israel. And I guess Charlie said some things that they didn't like, and or he was kind of breaking from the orthodoxy. And now all of a sudden there's some motive, because if you have one of the biggest conservative influencers who not only has a large media arm in Turning Point, but also has a ground game operation at all the universities, they're turning out the vote. If you lose this guy, if this guy all of a sudden is starting to question the relationship, then you've lost the entire future, right? In 10, maybe even less, in 5 year time, you're going to have the Republican Party opposing Israel as well, making it so that it becomes politically unviable to support the state. They can't have that. It's just not in the cards. So now all of a sudden you create this motivation, and now you have Netanyahu for some reason coming out 3 to 4 times over this past week. Even last night he posted again about how much he loved Charlie Kirk. And it's just very, very bizarre, right? So now we're realizing, hey, this is like it's like a relationship that is toxic, right? It's somebody that you love dearly, right? You have a long relationship with them, and now they're basically blackmailing you, or, you know, they're cheating on you, right? They're bombing Qatar, your ally, and not telling you about it supposedly beforehand. And then you're just supposed to take it, and you're like the breadwinner. You give them all the money and they just abuse you. What's happening here? And I think we need to, I want you to play this Max Blumenthal clip here, D19, because I think he, let's start with D19, because I think he starts to untangle some of these, I think, relationships that nobody really knows about. And there's, I love the work that he does at the Gray Zone, because they dig into these issues that are kind of third rail for mainstream.
Okay.
So I don't know if you know this stuff already about Susie Wiles, but let's go.
Going back to what I was telling you before the break, John Ratcliffe, when he was isolated with Donald Trump to basically feed Donald Trump Mossad talking points, including about phony, fabricated WMD propaganda about the Houthis about to get a nuclear weapon from Iran if he didn't strike. He was isolated by Susie Wiles, the chief of staff. And who is Susie Wiles? Subsequent to my report at the Gray Zone citing a inside White House source, a Trump official, we learned that Susie Wiles had actually went to Israel to work for Benjamin Netanyahu on his 2020 re-election campaign. How crazy is that? America first, and your chief of staff literally worked for a foreign leader? What's going on here? I mean, that's what we're unmasking, is the biggest foreign influence infiltration operation in American history that is basically taking control of an administration that says it's America first and is taking us to a very dangerous place. And everybody's concerned about it, including on the left, on the right, and we're also concerned about where we're being taken in this country.
Right. And this is, I don't know if this is coincidence or not, but I don't know if you knew that detail, that Susie Wiles literally was also Netanyahu's basically chief of staff.
I had no idea.
And that is a big problem, I think. If you're talking about having national interests as a priority, right? Now you have a person who basically works for two countries.
Well, since Charlie Kirk was assassinated, and I don't know if this you have this on hand,
yes.
But it's like, please read it.
Yeah. So since this, I don't know if this is coincidence or not, but since Charlie Kirk was assassinated on September the 10th, the government has blocked the Epstein files release. Okay. They've passed an amendment that bans the Pentagon from boycotting Israel. Okay. That's a really key one, because that means that defense contractors cannot legally not send weapons to Israel if they also want to supply the United States. Okay. That's bizarre. And then there was a proposed bill that Rubio for Marco Rubio to revoke passports for Israeli critics. That has since been now removed.
Oh, it has.
Because of public outcry, because they're like, what the hell is this?
Okay.
And then there's also the House approved $650 million for Israel's missile defense system. Marco Rubio went to Israel. And then a few days later, they had this whole 50 states, one Israel delegation. Okay, this is massive. Okay, if you can pull up this picture, the 250 legislator, that is D21, while I read off the details here. Delegation of 250 United States state legislatures in Israel, marking the largest ever group of elected officials to visit a country in a single trip. The bipartisan contingent, five lawmakers from each of America's 50 states, most visiting Israel for the first time, comes as the ministry intensifies efforts to bring in foreign delegations amid mounting international criticism of the war in Gaza. Okay, so and this is the part. This is from the Israel Times. So they're openly saying this. The ministry stresses the delegation's strategic importance, noting that the state legislators often influence anti-Israel bills, such as those supporting the boycott, divestment, and sanctions movement. Israel hopes that the visitors will block hostile legislation at the state level and promote initiatives combating anti-Semitism and strengthening U.S.-Israel ties. So they're very open in saying, hey, we want these lawmakers to be pro-Israel.
Yeah.
And not to, so they're making it so because there's states, there's movements, right, trying to say, hey, we don't want to support Israel, so we're going to use the boycott methodology, which is very similar to what they did in South Africa to end the apartheid that was there. And now they're saying we don't want that to happen. And now just today, it just came out. I don't know if you saw this, but Mike Johnson, the Speaker of the House, is having meetings, a private meeting with AIPAC and Jewish leaders on Capitol Hill, wherein they reportedly pledged to screen out isolationist, aka anti-Israel GOP candidates, to prevent the wing of that party from growing larger in the House. What is that all about?
I don't know. It's just crazy. And also, in the last week, actually the last few days, September 17th, Israel has sent tanks to Gaza, right? There's a ground invasion going on, which is something to note. And then last night, President Trump tweeted this. LJ, this is D18. President Trump tweeted, I am pleased to inform you, our many USA patriots, that I am designating Antifa, which a lot of people might not realize that stands for anti-fascist, a sick, dangerous, radical left disaster, as a major terrorist organization. I will also be strongly recommending that those funding Antifa be thoroughly investigated in accordance with the highest legal standards and practices. Thank you for your attention to this matter. So, you know, it's interesting for me, you know, trying to digest all of this information. Nick Fuentes is actually saying, we don't know it's Israel, which I just find odd for, you know, everything that he's been talking about. And I talked to one of the 35 creators that was at that Hamptons event. And she said that from her point of view, the material that they were doing is being skewed in the public eye. She didn't see anything, but of course, they also aren't seeing what's happening behind the scenes and conversations. But I've been trying to think, you know,
but it's clear that Charlie himself, sorry to cut you off, but Charlie himself was upset, right? With the Megyn Kelly interview that we played last week.
Yes.
So it definitely, something definitely happened.
Yes. But so anyways, for me, I said this immediately after when we filmed exactly 1 week ago. Why are they pushing this rhetoric so hard? This was before they caught Tyler Robinson, and I was saying they're already labeling this as a lefty lunatic. We hadn't even caught anybody yet. It was just immediately, this is the narrative. This is what's being pushed. And the engravings on the bullets pointed that it would be an Antifa, far-left progressive. And I started to think, okay, everybody is saying that Israel is behind this. If this is true, why would they want to push this narrative through our government officials? And then I realized that this same group is the group that is protesting they are the pro-Palestine protesters. So if President Trump is able to get rid of Antifa and this far-left movement, that would be very beneficial for Israel, because they would be getting rid of the group of people that are getting in the way of whatever it is they are doing.
Let's play E19. This perfectly dovetails. This is Max Blumenthal reporting to your theory right there.
We're also concerned about where we're being taken.
in this country with the violence, with the social unrest. We're all being pitted against each other by murky forces. It seems like whatever happened here, the killer's identity and politics has already been determined, and Ted Cruz, one of the biggest assets for the Israel lobby in the Senate, just went out in his oversight hearing with Kash Patel, the FBI director, and said, we have to go after this killing, we have to go after Palestine activism in this country and shut it down. What did Palestinians have to do with this, or Palestine activism? It's like the narrative is already pre-fabricated.
And that's why I'm told by DOJ sources that they know it's crazy trans people, at least on the surface, but they're being told go away from that. It's wild. So now we have the administration, not Trump, but his people literally trying to steer it, because that's the talking point Netanyahu put out before Kirk's body had even, you know, gotten cold.
Wow.
Yeah, it's a lot. It is a lot of information. And look, I just wanted to try and find a puzzle piece to put in the whole thing and say, why would the motive be, you know, going after this specific group? I don't know who did this. And I said this a lot last show, and I'm just going to reiterate it. No matter who is behind this, what organization is behind this, this is evil. This is evil. It's an attack on freedom of speech. It's a attack on good, right? Killing somebody, a public execution, that's an evil act. And so it's very, very strange what's going on. It's very, very strange. And, you know, with all of these press conferences that Bibi has done, to me, and you know a lot more about Israel, right, than I do, and you have taught me a lot about this, so I really don't have, you know, too much that I can go off of. But when I look at Bibi doing all of these press conferences, it reminds me, if they are behind it, of someone that is like returning to the crime scene, right? Like you have those situations, right? Was it Lacey Peterson, her husband killed her, but he was like, we need to find the guy. We need to get out there. I loved her so much.
And that reminds me, okay, this is another point too that they're making. They're like, why would we possibly kill Charlie Kirk? We love Charlie Kirk. Charlie Kirk loved us. Like we're very close. But if you have to think, if you think about murders, most of it is done by people who love each other, like the husband-wife combo or people who know each other. There's very rare, like, just random acts of violence against strangers. It's people who love each other. Maybe they've turned on them, right? Charlie Kirk is, like, maybe preparing to start maybe positioning the Turning Point organization a little differently that's less aligned with the Zionists. Remember, he turned down, supposedly, this is according to Candace Owens, so you could leave her, take it or leave it, $150 million. He said, no, I don't want that money. Probably because he already has a ton of money. He doesn't need that money. So he's like, I don't have to do it. I want more independence, right? So now you're starting to see a turn. So of course, that would be a motive to take out somebody that you quote unquote love because they're turning against you, right? I don't want to put this on you, but you know, if your husband cheated on you, you might kill. I'm not going to say that, but that's what happens, right? That's literally what happens in non-political situations. So why wouldn't it happen here?
No, and by the way, it's a very, very interesting point, right? It is. It's a very interesting point that I had not thought of. And yeah,
and Israel is responsible for the most number of political assassinations in history. Their entire state is built upon political assassinations, right? They are the first perpetrators of what scholars would determine to be the first case of terrorism in the modern world. Basically, it would be bombing civilian targets for political purposes. Mm. They are the first to do that with the King David Hotel bombing, I think it was in the 1920s, because they wanted to kick the British out. They wanted to take over. So they were going to do this. And then there was also bombings against the Palestinians. And so they are very, very adept at this type of work. And they've been doing it before the inception of the country. So for people to say, oh, we think it's Israel, I don't think it's out of the realm of possibility. I think it's certainly what I think to be, it should be at least considered. We don't know if he did it, but there's certainly something parasitic about this relationship is what is coming to light, right? Regardless of whether they did this particular act of violence or not, we should look at this relationship and whether or not it should continue the way it is.
And that's exactly why it reminds me of COVID, right? Because after COVID, everybody's like, we need to look at the relationship that the government has with Big Pharma.
Right.
This is not benefiting the American people. We're sicker than ever. We have the worst health outcomes. We take the most pharmaceuticals. So something's broken here. And so whether or not they're behind this, it did shine a huge spotlight on that relationship that Israel has with the United States, and people saying, okay, we need to reevaluate this, and people that never really looked at it before.
Right. We should not, like, if they're our greatest ally, right, if they're our best and greatest ally, we shouldn't have people in the Senate, and this is now multiple confirmed sources, right? We shouldn't have one of the highest ranking members of the Senate in the Senate Foreign Intelligence Committee thinking off the bat, ooh, maybe it's Israel. They're not saying it's Israel, but just that thought alone is really, really troublesome, right? Mm. We shouldn't even be thinking that, right?
And this was a source that you had. Is that what you're referring to?
This is
to?
A source that I had, but this is Harrison Smith of InfoWars also posted this.
Okay.
And so this is like multiple sources being confirmed that this person had these thoughts, even just having that thought, because like, okay, Charlie Kirk dies. We don't think, oh, maybe it was, you know, France, right?
Right.
So.
Well, yeah, I don't know if he was, you know, on board with the Brigitte Macron theory, but no, I.
Do you know what I'm saying? Like, yeah, we shouldn't be having those kinds of thoughts at the highest levels of government saying, oh, one of our closest allies is like, you know, going to do this if we don't conform to whatever they want.
What my gut is telling me.
Yeah.
Is that I don't know who did this.
Okay.
I don't know who did it, but I know it wasn't a lone wolf shooter. And I
do believe that
it was some sort of foreign or domestic, you know, agency or intelligence.
One of the first interviews given on Fox News, sorry, again, but one of the first interviews given on Fox News with this guy, I can't remember his name, but he was like, there's a little, you know, where the authorities are going after him. And then there's, he slipped in this line. There's a little bit of foreign intelligence involved.
Right. That was already put in there. Right. And then now you haven't really heard anything about that.
No, but I don't know if that was a slip of the tongue, you know, right. It's like, oh, whoops.
Yeah.
Let's it's a good point. Roll that
so,
back.
To me, it's just too hard to believe that this was, you know, one kid, 22, acting alone. It was this guy, Charlie Kirk, was a force. He was someone who, like you brought up, had the ground movement. A lot of people believed he was going to be the next president of the United States. He was only 31 years old. He really had a connection with the youth. And it's just really a shame. And he was also someone that was openly speaking Christian values and reciting scripture and talking about his relationship with the Lord. And, you know, some people would say that they wanted to silence him because of that as well, because of his religious beliefs and the, you know, the messages that he was sending about that. So
who
it is very
that?
Sad.
Some people are saying that, but who are these people?
It's very sad. It's very tragic. And yeah, it is also strange to see people already filling his chair, sitting in.
Oh, with Ben Shapiro going on and hosting the Charlie, or Ben Shapiro plus all the rest of the Daily Wire people. Because this is what we were already saying was like, oh, is this what's going to happen? Ben Shapiro is going to take over his speaking tour on college campuses. And then now they're literally sitting in the same studio. Obviously, it's a little too on the nose. So it's like, well, why are you rubbing it in our face? Like, what was that all about?
And Ben Shapiro said something along the lines, I'm paraphrasing, but he donated $1 million on air yesterday or the day before to Turning Point USA on behalf of Daily Wire. And he said, you know, in honor of Charlie Kirk, we are going to be going to these college campuses and we're going to be making sure that we are teaching the biblical message and bringing people to Jesus, which is interesting to me since Candace Owens, correct me if I'm wrong, got fired from Daily Wire for saying Christ is King.
Yes.
So I don't know. There's something.
So let's play F21 because this goes into the religious aspect of Charlie Kirk and what he was having conversations with the youth about.
Act like Ted Cruz uses the Bible to justify aid to Israel, doesn't even know the verse. Do you guys think that's like not the best way to approach this? Raise your hand. Okay.
I think Ted Cruz used Genesis 12:3. I think a lot of people see that as off-putting when you look at the New Testament.
Why?
Because I think a lot of people, they look especially at the writings of Paul where he talks about how the new flesh is not the same as the people in the old covenant. The new flesh is everybody, is everyone's included.
You're talking about Romans 9?
Yes, 9-6, yeah.
Are you Catholic?
Converted into Catholic from Judaism.
I can tell. This is my next.
Oh, from Judaism?
Yes.
Oh, wow. So you're Jew. You're ethnically Jewish.
Ethnically Jewish. Yes.
And you have concerns about AIPAC.
Yes, I do.
I'm told that by some people that if I criticize AIPAC, I'm anti-Semitic.
I think it's ridiculous. Yeah. I feel like it's great to have a concern for your country.
Do you think that AIPAC represents again, I'm not saying I believe this, but I think this is what you're saying, that it represents a kind of cutting in line of prioritization away from the American people.
Yes.
Would you guys say that's a fair summary? Meaning that, like, okay, we vote, we're citizens, but a separate group gets higher priority because of whatever reasons. You look like you want to chime in.
That the entirety of the idea of a PAC is to represent a group, but the fact that we're allowing a group that doesn't even represent American interests to influence the people who are supposed to be representing us, I have a huge problem with. And that's why I've said this before, and a lot of people don't like when I say it. I actually think there's probably like 20 representatives between Senate and House who I think are actually fully doing the work of the American people and don't have the interests of some group pulling their sway.
Mm. That is a conversation that Israel cannot have. We can't have that.
No.
Because imagine, I mean, you can see it, right? Because Charlie's being very, very removed. He's saying, I'm not saying this, but just want to get your guys' thoughts. And this is like a group of young Republicans that are of faith.
Right.
And they're saying, no, this is really bad. We don't want this relationship. Yeah. This is toxic. So this is parasitic.
When it comes to them not being able to have these conversations out there,
oh, can we, one last thing before we, I think this is to throw in a fun conspiracy story to go along with this. This is the,
somewhere over there. Wait, I'm pretty sure I sent this to you.
Yeah, E21. this is just a fun story just to go along with. This is part of the 50 states, one Israel delegation. And this is the song that they must hear as part of the
performance. Birds fly. Birds fly over the rainbow. Why then? Oh, why can't
you can cut it. Okay, so that's just really bizarre, right? And this is from Liz Croken. She says, creepy AF alert. There are 250 American legislators in Israel right now at the 50 states, one Israel delegation being serenaded with Somewhere Over the Rainbow, a song known as a Project Monarch trigger for mind control MK Ultra slaves to activate them to do their bidding against, their will. Nothing to see here.
I mean, that's crazy. It's absolutely crazy. When I was little, I wanted to be a singer, and I used to sing that song all the time. So I'm like, I don't know who told me to sing that song. No, that's just wild. But these stories are out here now. There's been a lot of links that we've clicked on last week and this week, and they've just disappeared. I think a lot of these clips are, kind of
the one we played about
off.
The trench coat was disappeared. And I actually contacted, do you know the guy, the Wall Street Apes guy?
Yes.
So he posted it. Yeah, he posted it yesterday, and then it's disappeared. So I messaged him. I'm like, where's that video? And he's like, well, it was getting taken down.
It's really crazy. And so I think it's important to do this show, get this information out there, because we don't know what's going to be going on in the near future with censorship. And on that topic, the TikTok sale, I guess, is underway for the United States. And we're going to get an announcement on that tomorrow. What do you know about that?
So what we know so far, this is element C23. This is from the Wall Street Journal. TikTok in final talks to be bought by Oracle, Silver Lake, which is another investment firm, and Andreessen Horowitz. That is your favorite. That's the Conehead guy.
Okay, I'm sorry. I did know elements for this topic except for C22 Conehead. I was looking up who's buying TikTok. What the fuck is this? I'm sorry for anybody that has a cone head. I thought that this was an AI photo that somebody made. Does that not look like that show, The Coneheads? I didn't know
this was
a real
thing.
Fun of somebody's appearance, but.
But you are.
Well, no.
Well, he's rich. He can take it.
If he's so rich, he should buy a top hat.
He owns it. You know, I for people who own it, I give him credit for it. I think he's a very, very bad. I don't know. He's a deceptive man.
Oh, is he?
In a lot of ways, like he's full of shit. He went on Joe Rogan early this year because all they do, all these big tech guys, is they go in and they spew basically misinformation. I don't even want to use that word because it's like a CIA word, but they spew bullshit and. In order to like deregulate what they want to do. So basically they went on and said that the CFPB, which is the Consumer Finance Protection Bureau, was like debanking people and doing, political witch hunts and shit like that against right wingers. In fact, that was the complete opposite. They were actually protecting the debank because their whole thing is protecting consumers. So they've opened up numerous cases in the past saying, hey, you cannot debank these people just because they, you know, they're right wing or whatever, this kind of situation. But the CFPB also goes after banking fraud, which is what some of these guys are sort of on the line of doing. So they wanted to get rid of it. So he went on, Mark Zuckerberg went on, and now the CFPB is basically gone. So it's that kind of stuff that I don't like, because they're using their money and influence to change government. Mm-hmm. And what I want is, like, ideally the government to be separate from corporations. The government should have...
Yeah, I think everybody would agree with that.
But now they are the government, basically, and they are the media, right? This is, so to continue on the TikTok, right? The U.S. government moved to ban TikTok last year, TikTok, which the U.S. government moved to ban last year for allowing criticism of Israel to go viral, is now reportedly in final talks to be bought by a small group of Zionist billionaires. Those are the companies that we talked about, including Oracle, which has ties to Larry Ellison, right? Larry Ellison's family, they own Paramount, which is one of the largest media conglomerates in the United States. Now they also own the social media side, because let's be honest, not that many people are tuning into CBS News every night or watching those programs, but they're definitely on TikTok. And now the same family basically owns both of them.
Yeah, it's crazy. And a lot of people,
I have more details if you want,
are saying that what is going to happen is that TikTok will now just be a United States app where U.S. Users are just going to be pushing out information to only the U.S., right?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know that this has been confirmed, but we're going to be getting more information tomorrow on this.
You can play F23 here. Some more information about it.
This is going to be my last post on TikTok, and the reason for that is twofold. The first reason is something you probably know. The second, you may not. The first reason is that tonight at midnight, there's going to be a new algorithm update that is called the M2 update. The M2 update is to prevent harmful and misleading content from making its way onto your For You page. This internal algorithm that they'll be using to monitor all content that goes out is going to be monitoring what's being said and the sentiment within the message. And if you were to take a random stab in the dark at who is going to be running this new algorithm, who's going to be on the cybersecurity side on the back end, it will be none other than these guys that were hired within the last 12 months. Number two, the part you probably don't know about is there's a lot of rumors going around, and we'll see if it's true, that every video that's ever made its way onto TikTok is going to be put into this system to be filtered and analyzed to see if anything we've posted in the past wouldn't fall under the M2 guideline. Accounts will receive strikes, community guideline violations, and if the current rules still apply, three strikes can mean your account is permanently banned. So let me go ahead and use all the words. If Israel continues to run a genocide, if billionaires and elite continue to use the usury model and fractional reserve lending to sift away money from the poor to the rich, if the Epstein list and those that have already been incriminated as being a part of it continue to get away with what they've done, and as long as the entirety of the Gen Z generation continues to get gaslit by a tyrannical government that's making them seem like they just need to work harder to get what they got, even though nothing is the same, I will continue to talk about it.
Okay, so this is a developing story, Dropsite News, which is run by Ryan Grimm and Jeremy Scahill. Shout out, two great journalists. They're saying that TikTok is reportedly escalating a sweeping crackdown on pro-Palestine creators, deleting videos, scrubbing comments, and burying posts about Gaza. In July, it hired Erica Mandel, a former IDF instructor who says her Zionism was, quote, shaped during Operation Protective Edge to run hate speech policy with the help of the ADL lobbying. A couple weeks later, on September 13, TikTok introduced an overhaul of its community guidelines, banning users from calling the IDF terrorists and rolling out automated moderation that retroactively wipes posts. Users report Free Palestine comments disappearing in real time and Israeli war crimes videos getting taken down. Oracle Silver Lake and Andreessen Horowitz are set up to buy 80% of TikTok's U.S. operation, a move likely to make the platform even more aggressive in censoring pro-Palestine content.
It's going to be very interesting. We're going to find out a lot of details tomorrow. I, for a while, was calling myself misinformation as a little play there, because I was taken off all of the time for misinformation and I wasn't even saying anything. You know, there have been times where I have, you know, reported something and then it ends up not being true, of course. But it would be on,
the news does that all the time, by the way. I just want to point that out.
Yeah, of course. But it would be on something that actually the mainstream media wasn't reporting and they just didn't want out there. And so there are certain topics you just know on TikTok that you cannot report on, like Epstein, for example. You know, yesterday I did two stories. I only posted them on Instagram because I want my account to stay up. I'm not sure what the future holds for TikTok, but you start to learn. Do not talk about chemtrails. Do Do not talk about vaccines. Do not talk about Epstein, any sort of human trafficking. You can't even say, you know, I am so sick of doing lives on TikTok and saying, and he, he took him out with a pew pew and unalived him. I mean, you can't even, you know, use real words on there. But anyways, we'll see what happens tomorrow. I want to get to our comments. We only have a few minutes left. First of all, I just pulled it up. I want to thank some of my followers that have been with me for a long time. Stella that came over here, and hand to gob. This is a comment I get every single show, and I get it every single live I've ever done, and I just have to address it live. Why does she yell into the mic? It's so bad. Look, I'm a loud talker. Since I was in kindergarten, every report card says talks too much, voice carries. My mom actually got my hearing checked when I was little because she thought I might have a hearing disability because I talk so loud. I do my best, and I apologize, but I am just a loud, passionate girl. So hopefully you can find the volume on your phone or device and just turn it down when I'm talking.
Well, your microphone is pointed to the side. I just want to let people know that it's not even pointed directly at you.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. So you're adding to me being trolled now. I really appreciate that. Such a supportive co-host over here. God. But anyways, we have somebody on here saying, at Paul C said, after all of this, I will never vote for a pro-Israel candidate.
There's not that many. So you see now, they won't even give you options of a pro-Israel candidate, right? Mike Johnson is literally having a secret meeting with AIPAC folks to say, we're not even considering those in our party anymore.
Yeah. Any questions that you guys have? I'm going through these. There was a question that I wanted to get to. Does anyone, this is Paul C, does anyone think the inside source is a Trump kid?
The inside source of what?
I'm not sure.
Is it Trump? Oh, you mean like was Tyler Robinson a pro-Trump guy? Is that the question?
I'm thinking.
I mean, we don't know because like I've seen reporting from Ken Klippenstein, if that is the question, right? His friend said he's not even political, right? Which is what's so
Barron
weird about
it. Oh, not political? Or...
Oh, sorry. They're talking about Barron Trump? I thought they were talking about Tyler Robinson.
Oh, they probably are. Sorry.
Oh, yeah. No, Tyler Robinson. So this is Ken Klippenstein reporting. He's talked to friends of Tyler and he's saying Tyler is not really that political, which is why this is really weird for them. It's hard to imagine, you know, him. He just like played video games and didn't really talk about this. Maybe it's the roommate slash boyfriend trans person. I don't know. But there seems to be a lot of lack of motive around why Tyler would even do this other than the text messages that we've been seeing released by the FBI that why he would even do this. There's nothing on the Discord, right? There's not the same trail of evidence. Let's say Luigi Mangione left. Right. Tyler didn't even talk about this kind of stuff. So for him to plan and kill somebody within a week without even knowing what that campus looked like is just bizarre.
Well, and the week theory is weak. Joe6327 said they say it was wrapped in a towel, but why is it pictured in a cardboard box? They're talking about the rifle. Mm-hmm. From what I have uncovered on that is that is an evidence box. And so authorities took a picture of the rifle after they had taken it out of the towel and placed it in the evidence box. However, you know, I've heard people say these police officers and FBI are all wearing body cam video.
See that.
Where is that footage? I would like to see it wrapped in a towel. I think that's an odd thing to do. And also, I just want to say, it sounds like Tyler Robinson was Mary fucking Poppins, okay? I mean, he's just pulling out towels and screwdrivers and rifles out of his gun. What kind of a backpack is this? It's insane.
No, that's true. That is the big question. Is it seemed, if he was even the one to do it, it seemed like he had a lot of help. And I saw a video yesterday. This is George Webb. He went to the site. This is another investigative reporter guy. He was a big Pizzagate guy. So I'm just throwing that out there for who he is. But he went there and the video footage is like, hey, it looks really close. Like some of the diagrams, like, oh, they're like, oh, rooftop super close. But then you go there and he's like, this is like a difficult shot because it's at the corner there. There's like an awning. The angle is very specific. There was a 10 involved. Like he said it looked a lot farther than what he imagined when he saw it on TV. And TV looked a lot closer.
Interesting. And that just goes to what Mark Divine, our episode that we released on Tuesday, unbelievable guy, by the way, really, really enjoyed that, getting to know him in that conversation, want to bring him on again. But that he said, as a Navy SEAL, number one graduating in his class on the special ops teams for over 20 years, that is a difficult shot. And it is at least a two-person job, because you would want somebody, looking at the surroundings and the environment. And then, of course, we posted that clip and people were saying, looking at the wind. And it's just so stupid, because there's thousands of college students in the crowd. There are so many variables that would play into this. And again, with the rifle, if you are putting it together on the roof, people are saying for it to happen in one shot, you would have to have put that together perfectly, have it perfectly aligned with the scope and everything. I know nothing about guns, but this is what the experts are saying. This is what Mark Divine said. So there's a lot of questions there. I also just want to shout out my Asian peers in Cali are lefties but me. Thank you so much for following us every single week, watching these episodes. We really, really appreciate you. Same with Paul C. And any other questions? I know there's like a 4-second lag. I'm seeing if there's any that we missed.
But yeah, thank you so much for following, for those watching this live right now. Sorry about the technical difficulties to start with. We'll hopefully get that sorted out next week. That's just part of doing something new. But we really, really appreciate this kind of engagement. I think we're going to do more kind of live interactions as we get more familiar with this, because I think that's what's so important for us, is like to make sure that we have a conversation going, because I think there's a lot of forces out there not wanting people to have conversations.
Well, a lot of people say that's why Charlie Kirk was assassinated.
Whatever. I mean, there's the deep state. We didn't even cover the deep state theory.
There's so many theories. And actually, I don't know that we cleared any up for you. We presented the theories that are out there.
I think right now there's more questions than answers. That's the main point right now, is that I don't think the FBI can be trusted based on all the evidence that they've given us, and also based on their track record, right?
This is what's coming out simultaneously about Epstein, and that, you know, he never trafficked girls, and that, you know, in their evidence, they don't show anything of that. You can go back to the Florida cases in the early 2000s when they had hundreds of victims that they have testimony on file. It's just an absolutely ridiculous claim. I think that, you know, my message would be continue to question everything. Love your family, love your friends, and surround yourself with good people, because I do, once again, believe we're in a spiritual war. And I don't think that anybody that is, you know, coming out here having their opinion should be fired from their jobs, or, you know, that freedom of speech should be taken away. That's a slippery slope. But I also don't condone people that are perpetuating really violent rhetoric out there. And I do think that there are people out there that, you know, you just need to use your moral compass and decide, you know, is that a good person or is that a bad person? Because there are some bad, evil people out there. And right now they are being spotlighted to kind of create this political divide. And again, when we're divided, we're powerless. So don't let them do that. We need to unite on the things that really matter. Stay united, because that's when we can hold our governments around the world accountable and get what we really want. There you go.
Can't say it much better than that, so I won't. So I'll just say thank you so much for everybody being here. Subscribe to the Patreon for some goodies that are coming your way. I'm just going to tease that right now. Definitely that really helps us out in terms of like building the show, making sure that we have the studio and all this equipment and everything like that, so we can stay independent versus taking money from big donors. That's very helpful. Also, subscribe to the YouTube, listen to us on Spotify, wherever you get your podcasts. Thank you so much for tuning in.
One of the things that you're going to see on Patreon first is on Tuesday, we did a burpees challenge with Mark Divine, the Navy SEAL of 20 years, who holds the Guinness Book World Record for most burpees in 24 hours. We only did it for 1 minute. I'm very competitive. I thought I was going to win. You beat me.
Hey, don't give it away.
I don't want to give it away, but
you just did.
I just want to say that I couldn't turn my wheel. I'm still having difficulty.
Yeah.
Who knew burpees were so hard? Right here. It hurts to touch. So anyways, get that footage. That's going to be good. And thank you guys so much for tuning in. We appreciate you guys. Let us know what you think about all of this down below.